Ladies and gentlemen, this time is actually episode 114 of the Nerdcast. Before we get started, I will point out that episode 113 was introduced as 114, but these guys were so angry about my fantastic introduction, they forgot to point that out. And by these guys, I do mean Adam, Aaron, and Tyler, all joining me, Iggy, for another episode of the Nerdcast.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Angry is not the right word for what it was. It was... We started it once, and you did a bad one, and we told you it was a bad one, so then we started again, and you did it again.
Yeah. And now you're admitting that it was actually worse than we thought it was. Like,
yes, it was.
This is not good.
And somehow the fact that you did it wrong and badly two times in a row is our fault, is what you're saying? That's what I got from what you just said.
Maybe you just need some more practice. And learning how to count, too, with your maths.
The counting might be a thing there. And it's hard to say that. I was actually really good at math in school. But when further and further away you get from school, the further and further away I get from any skills of any kind. So it is March now. It was March last time an episode aired, too. But we recorded in March also. Never mind.
Come on.
And this is the 114th episode, part two.
You're killing me.
Right? Since we skipped 113th?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it was, is we were just skipping. You know how, like, hotels don't have a 13th floor? We were just skipping episode 113 to go 114, you know? So, I don't know. Anyways, so it is March. Like, still, we are further removed, as we talked about last time, from the Oscars and from Project Cosplay. Closer to our, as we so dub it, the food convention, Chicago's C2E2.
Oh, C2E2. I can't wait, Chicago.
And that'll be just 1 week from when this airs. And we are in a whole new season of what Tyler loves to talk about, maybe not as much this week, Fantasy Movie League. Adam's got his hands up in the air because week one is in the books. And, Adam, you go ahead.
I'm going to gloat about my $300,000 victory. It's not a big victory, but it's a victory nonetheless. And, everything is right in the world again. Listeners, don't worry. I'm back at the top of the Fantasy Movie League platform, where I start most seasons, and then I will slowly progress down towards the bottom, because
that's true.
That's just the way things work.
But here's the deal. You're saying it's not a big victory. I was in second place, but I only had like 101,000. Like, it was, the margin was fairly big, was it not? Like, I thought it was.
No, it was like 300,000. Like, he beat you by like this.
Oh, was it
right?
That? I can't.
You had 101. Like, you had 101 million, not 101,000 there, buddy.
Oh, my bad.
The gap between sixth place and first place is only 22 million. So
okay, sorry.
It's almost pretty close right now.
Aaron, you got third place.
Yeah. What's going to happen is, any of you listeners, if you're listening and you're awesome with predicting the movies, my email address is Aaron@projectnerd.com. Go ahead, email me. I'm going to give you the login credentials, and you're going to take over my account and run my movie league.
Is that considered cheating?
No.
Yeah, that would.
It's actually the definition of cheating.
No, right, I don't. No. Well, I'm not going to take credit.
Like, if there was a dictionary and there was,
they're just going to use me.
Like, with the example underneath. Like, if I type this into Google right now and it gives me the example, is it going to be? Episode Nerdcast episode 114 part 2. Aaron,
could you use it in a sentence? Aaron letting someone else play Fantasy Movie League for her would be cheating.
Can you give me the origin, please? Aaron Lay.
This is like having an avatar, right?
No, it's not even
real person. Digital image of yourself, a little bit different.
They're using my name. Same thing.
Insights. Yeah. Hence why it's cheating.
What's happening right now is anybody who's listening was like, hey, maybe I want to do that for her, but now I don't because she's stupid. So it's cool.
They can actually just join and play with us and then beat you and be good.
They could do that.
and not have to worry about pretending not being Erin when Erin's already admitted that it's not her.
Yeah, but come on. This is like when you play the Mario levels that are too hard for your little sister. You just let them...
No, yeah. I just played all the levels because I didn't want my siblings to play them. It had nothing to do with I needed to beat them for them.
Oh, well, I guess so.
Adam and Erin are both shaking their heads because they are the younger siblings.
Yeah, I'm the youngest. Things got hard. I just handed the controller up if I had a video game that I was borrowing from somebody, because clearly I didn't have those things as a child.
Yeah, I just got punched and the controller stolen from me. My sister was better at Mario than I was. She was also quite good at Legend of Zelda. I can give my sister the props there where she needs them. Eventually, I became better at video games. It may or may not have been because she stopped playing, but either way, in the end, I became better at the video games.
Well, that's because that's your thing.
Speaking of, did everyone hear the bad news this week? Specifically bad news for, of all of the four of us, actually Erin.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's video game news, it's actually going to affect her worse than anyone.
It is.
As of this week.
Does it have to do with Plants vs. Zombies?
Nope, it has to do with a different game you truly love.
The next Fable game has been canceled, and until further notice, Lionhead Studios will probably be shuttering.
Oh, shit. They were just talking about putting that out.
They had a beta out and everything, and it looked.
It was supposed to be the best.
Like, well, that's not a high bar.
You shut up.
I was never a huge fan of the Fable series, but they did also make the black and white games, which I loved. So
it was kind of a shitty game. I'll give you that.
Yeah. No, well, I enjoyed Fable. It was, you know, they made the same game three times in a row, which was a little bit of a bummer, I think.
They increased the graphics and then they took things away. But I feel like the reason why people like me loved it so much is because it's so accessible. Like, it's accessible, it's light and easy. It's so much fun to do the trading, like, you know, making money. Like, that was my favorite.
She's saying it's easier than those other ones that you guys play.
Yeah, well, it is.
I just remember the development series for the very first one being so pumped because I had an Xbox, but there were no good real RPGs for the Xbox. Like, if you wanted those, you had to go PS2 or Nintendo. Like, there were no really good RPGs for it. And then Fable got talked up like this, just all the things it was going to be able to do and all the things that you were going to be able to do and how the world was going to change around you. And then as the release date got closer and closer, each month they would come out with, okay, this feature is actually not going to make it to the game. This feature is actually not going to make it to the game. Then like a month before release, so like, oh, these other 10 things that were like the main reason you wanted to play, we're cutting all of those too. And here is a very cookie cutter, on rails, not open world, sort of new and kind of okay RPG. The second one, I will say, the second one was actually really good. The first one was a disappointment just because of how they built it up. And then the third one was eh. But at the same time, like, I put that on myself because I love RPGs and I had high hopes for the first ever first party Xbox RPG. And it was, from what they built it, it was a disappointment.
Did DC and Warner Brothers have anything to do with that first game?
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired.
But, on the other hand, Lionhead Studios also made the black and white games, and they were amazing, if anyone ever played those.
What? I've never heard of those.
That answers your question there. What?
Well, I was expecting someone else to say something. Adam, do you know what those are?
Nope, never heard of them.
Serious?
In the series, you played a... You were basically, you acted as God and took control over all these villages over various islands. And you had like a big creature avatar that you could use to like manually interact with them. But it was basically you just being a God, being like the newly created God born from the prayers of these people and then controlling. They were really, really good games.
I know and played a game Adam didn't. I know what you're talking about. There you go. Accomplishment unlocked.
PC, Xbox? What?
I played on a computer.
On the computer, huh?
On the
PC. The original one was a PC only game.
Yeah, it was like
the second one might have been console ported to console, but I know that the original was just a PC only game. But it's still like considered one of the Like, to this day, Metacritic has it, like, 90 out of 100. Like, it was a big – it was a really good game. Came out back in 01, maybe? I was in high school. I know when it came out.
See, that's my style jams right there, though, when it comes to gaming. Like, I've loved, like, the SimCity, the theme park building ones, the Sims, or, like, the island ones. Like, so that's why I know
it. Did you ever play Afterlife, the one where you were – it was SimCity, but Heaven and Hell?
Yep.
That was a good one, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the black and white games, because they were a little bit more interactive, not less SimCity-ish and more – but they were super fun. I enjoyed them a ton.
I mean, it's sounding a lot like Civilization.
It's a little bit different because it's more specific about you being like the god of these people and answering. And then there's a...
Because you try to get them to worship you, too.
Yeah, you try to get them to worship you. And you can use... You have this big, giant creature that's like your avatar on Earth is the only way you can like physically interact with them or do things for them. But then like this vortex opens up. And then there's like this other creature, this nemesis that you fight. They were very deep and they were super fun.
If I remember correctly, like the more like you tried to, you could be good to them or punish them. And the more that you did whatever you did to get them to worship you, the like more powerful you could get.
Yeah. I mean, the AI was really high end and you could do things like to get them to worship you or because you got power from how much they believed in you. And it was something simple as like, bringing rain to the crops or helping them with their day-to-day tasks, or you could go the other route and just like drop fireballs.
Scare the hell out of them so that they had to worship you.
Or strike them down with lightning and stuff like that. And then you had
Old Testament God or New Testament God?
And then you had your avatar, your creature that you could train to do the same sort of stuff that you would have done, but it would do it on its own using the game's AI, which was fairly advanced for the time. So
I'm sure there's got to be like a port of it somewhere.
Yeah, interesting. I'm going to go see if there's an emulator on there.
I bet you GOG has it. GOG usually probably has a lot of those classics. Black. And it's probably one of those ones you want to find soon before Lionhead actually closes down for good.
And how.
So you did have another huge video game title out this week.
Tom Clancy's The Division.
Exciting. A gold edition, too, for $100. I saw it. What's the difference in the gold edition? Because the case, the packaging looked the same. I didn't feel like I got any hardened package or
sweet hat and a gold-plated gun or something like that.
Right, yeah. You got some in-game downloadables. I think that one also included the season pass, which would be the DLCs. They've got 3 announced DLCs for the year. They don't have individual pricing on those yet. And they're also going to be doing at least 2 free DLCs for it. So 5 pieces of additional content still to come for that game. Seeing some fun stuff about that already. So obviously any game that involves kind of an online component usually crashes the night of the release because the servers just aren't ready. I don't know why video game developers can't get servers ready, but they can't. And so The Division servers crashed, but they got up and running eventually. And then there's also a fun thing where people are trolling each other inside of like hallways and doorways because there's player collision. So your video game player can run in and hit and push somebody else's video game player. So you can just stand in a doorway and trap people in a room if you want to. And okay. Apparently players are having a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good stuff from people who played the demo. I haven't had time to play the demo or the beta, I guess, or pick it up. But I picked up Black Desert Online, the new sandbox Korean MMO that just opened last week. That is interesting. It's very open MMO, like it's truly sandboxy, so you can get easily sidetracked. But I really do want to pick up The Division, even though I don't have time to get sucked into another first-person shooter MMO or third-person shooter MMO.
So other bad news this week that also will hit Aaron is the Sandman news. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, not seeing eye to eye as Sandman. So, of course, Sandman is a Vertigo DC Comics title, so automatically belongs to Warner Brothers. However, one of their, you know, Warner Brothers bought New Line, a couple decades ago now, it seems like. It's been a while. New Line handles all the Vertigo properties at this point under a new contractual agreement. So when Joseph Gordon-Levitt was pitching his ideas and working with the team, he was working directly with Warner Brothers. When the project actually started to take off, handed over to New Line, so new leadership on the studio side, not seeing eye to eye. Joseph Gordon-Levitt very professionally, very tastefully, long statement out about how it just wasn't clicking, not eye to eye. So he's backing out of the project.
Yeah, that one's also a little bit of a tricky one because almost all Vertigo comics are creator owned. but since Sandman started pre-Vertigo and was a DC title, it's actually, and it was a DC character that he Gaiman appropriated to make into the whole thing. It's technically a DC property.
Well,
but
it kind of kicked off the whole Vertigo line. It was one of the...
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of the one that they used to drive it. In good Neil Gaiman news, they've cast Mr. Wednesday for the American Gods TV show, and it's definitely going to
yes.
be McShane, which I'm totally okay with.
That guy is going to be the best. The best.
I definitely pictured him as more of like a Brendan Gleeson.
Nah.
The reddish, blondish hair and like...
Nah.
Kind of
this guy is awesome.
Ian McShane, I love me some Ian McShane.
Not even reading the book, just knowing about the character from both of y'all, is that this seems like a strong casting decision.
Yeah, because he's got that charm and stuff. And I never read Sandman yet, so I don't really care.
Oh, we're talking about American Gods now.
I wanted to go back to that because you said it would affect me. So let's go back to American Gods.
I meant more of the Joseph Gordon-Levitt backing out of a Neil Gaiman property would have been something that you'd have been like.
Eh.
And you need to read.
I didn't know the character.
Read Sandman.
Like,
I know I should. It's on my list. I just haven't yet.
You've read both Neil Gaiman graphic novels and books, but even the people who love books and don't favor graphic novels, when they give Sandman a try, it's a whole different ballgame than a typical graphic novel.
I mean, there's an entire – I mean, here I'll get you – here's the selling point, Farron. There is an entire issue of Sandman that revolves entirely around Sandman being best friends with William Shakespeare and providing him his inspiration in exchange for writing three plays for him.
There's no selling for me. What's wrong with you people?
I'm just saying, like, that's one of the best issues is the
like
one.
I just haven't done it yet. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start reading it like tomorrow. I'll pick up a copy.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Good morrow, sir.
Don't let her get on there.
Have you read Anansi Boys yet? You still need to get that one, too.
I did. I told you about it. Remember, I read it this last summer. I talked about it on the podcast like every day.
I feel like that's not
you guys,
a
No, you guys did talk about it quite a bit on
the podcast. She definitely read it.
Yeah,
I mean, she talked about reading it. I can't say definitely that she read it. She
his
read something where she could talk about
his new book. Collection of stories, Trigger Warning, is pretty good.
I also read that, and I consumed copious amounts of Gaiman. That sounds... Oh no!
Are we not doing phrasing? I mean, I'm fine with that. I just need to know somebody.
You guys, this summer I read a lot of Gaiman. All right, I put a lot of Gaiman in my brain.
Speaking of casting, though, I think today the best worst casting news of all time may have come out. Best in the sense that Justice League now has a Commissioner Gordon, and it is a very good casting move. Bad news in that this character cannot reprise his role in the Marvel Universe, I think, now because of it. And that is J.K. Simmons is now Commissioner Gordon in the new DC world, which means he will never be J. Jonah Jameson again.
I love the meme.
And like, J.K. Simmons as...
the Spider-Man? Then I'll go be Commissioner Gotham.
And J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson might be the greatest casting page to screen in the history of cinema and comic books and books and everything.
It's hard you say that, but when you look at a lot of the Marvel titles, there's multiple characters you can feel that way about. Because
now this one's, I don't think that one's even close. They all those guys do a version of them. Like Heath Ledger does a version of the Joker that's fantastic. You know, Robert Downey Jr. does a Stark that's very good. J. Jonah Jameson, I mean, J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson from the comic books. Like, he's become like Evan Conroy now. Like, he is, if I read a Spider-Man comic now and J. Jonah Jameson's in it, I hear J.K. Simmons' voice in my head.
Yeah, I will give you that. But it's hard because I feel like there's a few over there that I'm like, there's nobody you could pick better for Tony Stark. There's really, I mean, there's just a couple of those ones that are like that.
I don't know. Tony Stark's one of those things. I feel like Tony Stark has now become Robert Downey Jr. in our minds, whereas J.K. Simmons was J. Jonah Jameson, not the other way around.
Okay.
It was good.
It's always hard to go back and look at finding somebody else to play someone who does really well. Like, oh, who else could have been John McClane in Die Hard? Like, there are probably other people other than Bruce Willis, but you can't imagine anybody else other than Bruce Willis now.
Well, that, but I mean, when
I just remember
adaptation, like I'm thinking the Tony Stark that I know, especially the Ultimates, which I know the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't really follow a single one, but pulls a lot from the Ultimates. That Tony Stark was Robert Downey Jr. before it ever hit the big screen.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I think it's one of those things where a lot of those really good ones, once you saw them, you were like, okay, I'm on board with this. Like, they're doing a good job of being that character. And once you watched, you're like, no, they were a really good Tony Stark. Like, J.K. Simmons showed up on screen in Spider-Man 1, you're like, I don't even know who that is because it looks exactly and sounds exactly like J. Jonah Jameson.
No, I give you that. I give you that.
So good.
Not arguing.
Just the way his relish at delivering the various lines and stuff like that. It's only slander if it's spoken. It's libel when it's printed. He was just so proud of being able to correct him on that. Oh my God, he's so good.
Tyler's going to go watch the Spider-Mans after this, by the way.
No, just the first two.
Just the first. Well, that's, I guess those two, yeah. So
we all know that the third one didn't actually happen.
Emo Spider-Mans are real.
Nor did the fifth one.
Well, no, the fifth one didn't really happen. That was just a mess of.
That was the best 30-minute love story that took an hour and a half to tell.
If you could cut out everything that wasn't Peter and Gwen interacting with each other, like, that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yes, that was more casting news. Like I said, good there. Casting news for American Gods, which was solid. Losing Gordon Levitt on Sandman. I mean, Sandman's such good material. I can't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. Like, I still have faith here. If Warner Brother can treat this DC title correctly, no matter who's in it, it can be done right. And Adam is shaking his head no vigorously because at this point, I think we're losing all hope on DC.
I really feel like they just can't get out of their own way.
It's true.
Just let something happen. Make a movie.
Maybe in a couple weeks, we'll all go to the theaters and we'll come out and we'll be like, holy hell. What just happened? That was amazing. However, it is highly more likely that the podcast after Batman versus Superman weekend, we're going to be like, I just don't even want to talk. I'm so frustrated and angry. And Tyler's going to just be throwing his headset down, like just angry and be like, I told you guys, I told you this. Like, it's
no, I will be vindicated and I will just sit here. Cause my expectations have been smashed to nothing.
Like, he's going to sit there just looking smug for the whole hour.
There's no way for it to be worse than I'm expecting. The only thing they can do now is make it slightly better than it has any right to be. Like, don't get me wrong, I want it to be good. I just have absolutely zero hope at this point that it can.
I think this is what's going to happen for me, is because my expectations have gotten so low to the point to where I'm even debating, like, I don't even know if I want to pay a movie ticket price. And then, like, you know, like, it's almost like I'm at that point. But the problem is I'm going to go see it. Probably going to be better than, because my expectations are so low, I'm going to be like, guys, that was actually, and then we'll see it again. And I'll be like, oh, wait, never mind. Just kidding. It's just because of the low expectations that first time. But Aaron
will probably love it.
Yeah, because she gets Batfleck.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, never mind.
What?
I'm still pretty impressed that they actually have finished and made a movie. Like, we have a date. It hasn't been moved back again. Like,
that's right. We need to go back to some podcasts from like
actually last, set up. And there's actually year. Going to be a film called Batman vs. Superman. It's going to be released in the theaters, you guys. Like, that's a pretty big accomplishment for Warner.
We need to record. We need to go and grab sample clips from like a year ago and 2 years ago where Tyler's like, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, guys. Just because they announced this stuff doesn't mean the movie's actually going to be happen. And I believe there was lines, don't quote me word for word, but it went along the lines of, yeah, I don't think this movie's ever going to happen. And I feel like he even, you know, when you wager something in an imaginary way, like
I doubled down on it many times. Like, yeah. The trailer came out, and I'm like, I'm still not convinced this movie's actually. Yeah. The problem is at some point, they had to just give up with the whole, like, because originally, I mean, it's been backed up how many times? And part of it was it didn't get made. Like, people kept dropping out or whatever. Like, they couldn't keep production online. And then it just kept getting pushed back because at some point, they're like, fuck it. We're going to have to put it up against at least one Marvel movie. Like, they can't push it back indefinitely. So at now, I think its biggest competition is Suicide Squad because they've managed to push it back past everything else other than
Civil War.
Civil War comes out that next month.
Yeah.
And Civil War is in the right month, too. It's right at the beginning of May. So you got that.
Civil War will make obscene. They just announced the running time of that. It's going to be the longest Marvel movie to date.
Longer than Avengers?
Longer than Age of Ultron, but still shorter than Batman versus Superman.
How long is Batman versus Superman?
It is. The numbers.
Not the R-rated director's cut.
Okay, so Captain America: Civil War is going to be 2 hours and 27 minutes, making it the longest Marvel movie to date. But still, how many minutes shorter than Batman versus Superman? So 6 minutes longer than Age of Ultron, but still 4 minutes shorter than Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, that's a couple minutes.
Yeah, but in a movie that long, seven minutes is a,
yeah,
a lot of time.
Because if you got to piss before the 2 hour mark, every minute after that is
well, just in terms of plotting, like 6 minutes is an entire scene, like a big scene. So
yeah, and then you got to wait till the end of the credits to see the post credit scene. I mean, you might be able to squeeze in, run into the bathroom, and run it back to the theater.
Not with Marvel because you get that mid credit scene. Yeah, too.
But it's tricky, right? It's you never know. So I'm with you. That's going to end up being 5 minutes longer than Batman versus Superman because I don't have to stay past the end of the Batman.
That's right. Snyder has already said, we're not doing that stuff. We're not like that.
I'm sure there will be one.
We have zero fun at Warner Brothers. So
can they just fire him already? Let him go make his George Washington movie and get him off of our lawns.
So what was that when I linked you guys to it? Was it College Humor? Well, who was it?
It was Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken, that's right. They did their interpretation of the Zack Snyder George Washington movie. So definitely worth checking out. If Aaron remembers it was just last week we talked about it. Zack Snyder wanting to do a George Washington movie. And he said, obviously,
in the vein of 300.
Yeah. So
crossing of the Delaware, which was not
Robot Chicken
mental moment by any means, but we got a nice painting of it.
Let's be honest, he also based 300 on a moment that didn't really actually happen the way that he said it did. So,
well, he didn't.
Frank Miller didn't, and then he ran with it.
There you go.
Let's be honest, Zack Snyder made it sound like he was going to base his entire George Washington movie off the famous painting of a thing that never happened. So, basically the same thing.
Oh. He would do that.
Okay. Like, are you chiming in here? Or
yeah. Well, you guys just got all quiet. I was just chiming in, like, with an O, and then usually you guys talk around me, but you actually paused, and then I had nothing.
All right.
All I had was an interjection.
Okay. That's really good.
So,
this week, too, like, Monday and Tuesday were actually huge in pop culture and geek culture when you really look at it. All the things we're already talking about, new releases. We brought up a video game release, but the Peanuts movie, which was really fantastic, as well as Macbeth, both out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. I believe, is it your new Megadeth album this week, too? So, for the music, the Hard Rockers, you got a big album there. And then, of course, J.K. Rowling releasing some backstory before you have the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And on Tuesday, History of Magic in North America appeared on Pottermore. Adam, I guess, would be the appropriate one. Have you checked it out yet?
Not yet, no. Although I do have a Pottermore account.
It is the same day of recording as the date. So Tyler can feel at ease. We're recording on Tuesday.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, there you go. No, I haven't checked that out. I've been playing a lot of video games. I mean, that's really the only excuse I have for not having spent more time on Pottermore recently. But that is big news. I am excited about that, actually. So I will be reading up on that.
Aaron, Tyler, I probably not have Pottermore accounts.
No, but something else awesome did come out pop culture today.
No, I don't have a Pottermore account. Go ahead, Tyler.
Trailer for Game of Thrones, season 6.
With your boy, Jon Snow.
Obviously, because he didn't die, obviously.
No, totally dead.
No, he didn't fucking die. Did you read the book? It's so open for interpretation. I'm sorry, this is going to make me angry. Let's not talk about it. Let's just move on.
You get angry about it like, there aren't a million people who have died in Game of Thrones and then been brought back to life.
Hold on a second. He's not dead, though. It doesn't read the last chapter. It's open for interpretation. When you read it, it's very clearly ambiguous. And in the show, they make it look like he's dead.
In the show, it's not ambiguous.
Reading it's very ambiguous.
The book is totally different. The show, he's fucking dead. In the book, it's very ambiguous. Just like in the book, it was very ambiguous when the Hound like rides down Arya after the Red Wedding and knocks her over the head, and then she doesn't show up again for like 10 chapters. Like, did he fucking kill her? In the book, it's very clear. He knocked her unconscious and rode off with her. This is the same thing. The book, Jon Snow being dead, very ambiguous. The TV show, they stabbed the shit out of that guy, and he is totally dead.
That's the best way to explain it. They stabbed the shit out of him.
Okay.
Spoiler alerts, by the way.
But what's really pissing me off about it is that people like who've read the books, who are have a reading great reading level of like a third grader who apparently can't understand the words, don't understand that in the book it's still ambiguous. And so they think that he's dead in the book too. And so that's where it pisses me off, because he's got to be not dead in the show too, because he's too big of a character. He can't be dead in the show.
I feel like her attack was very
specific. I feel like your logic is flawed in so many different ways.
Okay, I'm making myself out to sound like just an angry person.
Really?
I told you, I don't want to talk about it. It's just Game of Thrones.
They've killed so many major characters that
they can't kill Jon Snow.
They really can.
They may as well fucking kill Tyrion and Dany and just call the whole thing over. Just kill them all.
They've killed everyone.
Kill ghosts while you're at it. Second kill the dogs. All the dogs.
Second of all, they've killed some main characters and then magically brought them back to life because it's magic land.
Yeah, but we don't know about that yet, do we now?
Well, not in the show, because they're not bringing all of them back, but
this guy
also bad. I don't know if you've noticed that the books and the movie, the TV show and the books are very different stories.
They're taking different paths, yes, but not with main characters like this. They can't.
They have.
Not
like
this
Sansa's
guy.
Story is totally different in the TV show than it is in the books.
Yeah, but not with death. That's pretty final. I don't know if you noticed.
Hey, Adam.
One of the main characters died in the books and is alive now.
Which one?
I don't know if I'm spoiling things for
you. Wait, you're talking about the books.
Yes. The main, very, very main character was killed and then brought back to life.
It hasn't happened yet in the show yet, though.
You're
going
to have to take this offline, because the confusion between each other is getting so much more. Something's going to be said that's going to piss off somebody.
Oh, we're way past that point.
Not in this group.
We're way past that point. You need to probably just put a disclaimer. There's some Game of Thrones spoilers.
The point is, if you listen to the last 10 minutes, there was spoilers. So, sorry. We're warning you now.
I don't think there's spoilers. Just read the books.
Just a little bit.
Anyways, the whole point before these two people went off the deep end.
No. No. Don't you paint me with that brush.
Season 6, Game of Thrones trailer.
I'll own it.
Out this week. Next week, you also have Daredevil dropping, which happens to be C2E2 weekend.
I thought it didn't drop till the 31st.
Doesn't? I swear I was seeing 31st. That late. I thought I was seeing March 18th dates. I hear the typing.
I don't know, but it's a race to see who can find the information first. And I'm excited to see which two of you is.
I'm not looking it up. I'm sitting here talking. No, I'm not.
Okay, they did move it up. It is March 18th now.
Yeah, I felt like they moved it up because they moved it to the weekend ahead of Batman versus Superman.
Fair enough. So March 18th now. So it is going to come out while we're in Chicago.
So the reason I knew it would change is because it was what happened was the dates changed with the billboards and the signs. They started putting up the signs up in New York and LA and all the stuff. And all of a sudden these dates on these signs were March 18th. And people were like, wait a second. And it was like, yeah, moving the date up. Maybe they didn't intend to move the date up. Maybe they accidentally printed it. And they're like, oh, that's a lot of money to go fix all that. Let's just pull the series up a couple of weeks.
Well, here's hoping Amtrak has solid Wi-Fi, because I'll have 7 or 8 hours to kill on the way back.
That's true. So for the rest of us, I felt like, let's see, C2E2 weekend, they just lost like 80,000 first weekend views, like for that show right there. You'd have to assume
probably everybody
at C2E2 is going to. Well, that's true. Many of them,
a lot of those people can go home and watch it at
that's
night.
That's true.
Yeah. The show.
They lost probably at least 20, maybe not even all 20 of those, because I would consider going back to the hotel room and hooking up the computer and watching it.
Plugging it. Are we going to all camp around a computer screen? Somebody bring your HD.
Adam and I got kicked out of hanging out with you guys, so we're going to go use Gallo's Wi-Fi and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
No, just because you're staying at Gallo's house doesn't mean we're not hanging out.
No, you made it clear that you're kicking us out to Gallo's house and doing whatever
Tyler, we're removing your snoring from the room, but that's just during the sleeping time. You can hang out the rest of the time.
No, we're going to hang out with Gallo and go do cool Chicago things.
Okay, fine. Be that way.
I'm going to get drunk the whole time.
Whoa.
Good for you.
Family show.
It's going to be fun. No, I'm really not. I'm going to work really hard.
It no longer became a family show after Erin about lost her cool on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So, no, family show long gone.
I only dropped one. I'm sorry. I couldn't help.
You actually did two, and Tyler threw one in between the two.
Oh, no.
It got to the point where I'm like, there's going to be enough in here. I might actually have to edit these.
So, I can't even – can you put in like a beep?
She just gets.
I learned how to do it. You just clip the little, like, just that fraction of a second part, mm-hmm. and leave it as a blank space.
Yeah.
So the audio drops, so you just hear.
It to Tyler, so I don't sound like a loser.
So it's the matter of that's like Tyler's word, though. Like, Tyler owns that word on the nerd.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking it back.
Oh, fuck you, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. That one actually is perfect for editing, right? It's appropriately funny. So if that one's edited when you get to it, that means I found it while editing the podcast and did. It's not edited. It's only because editing's hard. So that's all I have to say about that. Anyways, Game of Thrones season 6 trailer, Daredevil dropping, C2E2, all that fun stuff going on. A lot of other cool things. One other thing that Tyler briefly brought up too, it is International Women's Day and Women's History Month as well. So Project Nerd has kicked off 31 Days of Power, which is outlining 31 female characters from comics. And it was fantastic because our first one kicked off with a number of all Marvel, Matt, by the way, all Marvel superheroes. But then your last one was Lucy Van Pelt from the good old Peanuts comic strips.
Is she a hero?
She's literally the worst person ever.
Right.
Not necessarily a hero. It's just women characters.
That football, just let the poor man kick that football once in his whole entire life.
She
holds it out there and then yanks it away.
She was a strong role model to little girls by posing as a psychiatrist. She was saying, I too can be a doctor someday.
Just like Aaron, WebMD.
But shut your mouth.
Jeez. Marissa actually wrote that part in the article. Our editor, Marissa, wrote that section for Matt's article and says, but in the guise of an ill-tempered child, therein lies a girl who hides nothing and fears nothing. So?
That's right. Vaginas unite. International Women's Day.
There you go.
Ooh. I don't know. Her relationship with Schroeder is kind of weird.
She did comment on that. She said she's not afraid to admit her crush on Schroeder.
Yeah, she's open.
There's admitting the crush and then being kind of crazy about it sometimes.
She doesn't hide the fact that she thinks she should be a queen, president, or a doctor. I don't know.
Just give Charlie a break.
Good old Charlie.
I mean,
down.
Charlie is asking for it, the way he dresses.
Whoa, whoa.
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 Have you seen the way he wears that ugly brown striped?
It's yellow and black first. And
it's a brown stripe on the shirt. Okay, you're right.
You need to adjust your TV color settings. It's never, ever been brown.
I don't know why I'm thinking brown. Oh, it's because his last name is Brown. But regardless, have you seen the way he dresses? He's basically asking for it. He's a 10-year-old that's bald.
Probably the most inappropriate thing to say on International Women's Day, but
I just want to know what's wrong with being bald when you're young.
Yeah, right?
These right? things happen to people.
Did you have a comb over when you were 10, Adam?
And I've never in my entire life had enough hair to have a comb over. Because even when I had hair and it was longer than it is now, it's always been...
That's why he's growing out the beard. So he
That's false. Bars. I saw lots of pictures of you when you were a kid and you had thick, thick, bushy hair on top of your head.
When I was 4, I had a pretty sweet bowl cut.
That's what I'm talking about. I was going to say bowl cut, but I thought you'd get mad at me.
No, it was a legit bowl cut. Bushy wouldn't describe it. It lay perfectly flat against my head. There was never a lot of hair. Yeah. And then as soon as I cut that, you could see my scalp instantly. So it's been a rough go in the hair department. But yes, that is why I grow the beard, because it actually comes in.
Grow the beard enough so you can then comb that over the top of the head.
Oh,
now I got goals. Yeah. Style. I'm gonna make that happen.
That's going to be the new hipster style. When the long hair, long beard runs out, it's going to be hair comb over shaved head.
You could part your beard in the middle and kind of bring it together on the top. Yeah.
Kind of do like a Grinch, like how the Grinch has his horns that kind of pop up.
Yeah.
So parts in the middle and then kind of comes up there. And
you know, let's take this back to Game of Thrones. I feel like that's what...
No more yelling.
What are those people called? The Tardashi? Tar, tar,
The Kardashians?
No, shut up. The Zarodon.
What are you talking about?
The people
Dario Naharis? Like,
syllables.
Thank you. Dario Naharis, the one that Daenerys like slept with all the time. Okay. And they shaped their hair into different shapes. Just cut this part out. Just cut it out.
Cool story, bro.
I suck.
Even hair doesn't want to invent her.
Really? I was trying to drop some like Game of Thrones stuff, and I can't even remember what the.
Guess what part of the podcast is staying in?
Shit. Stupid recall memory. Anyways, it always fails me.
So, styling hair, things like that, I want to lead into another Project Nerd thing with the cosplay galleries as of late. They've been getting crazy mad traffic and attention. And the reason for that is because they've been crazy mad good. And I'll start with the Game of Thrones one, the Jon Snow, the Jon Snow regret one. I can't, like, it's not even cosplay. I'm pretty sure it's the actors from Game of Thrones doing a gallery.
They put some makeup on to look like they're not themselves, like just a little bit. I agree.
That looks straight like Kit. Like, I have the picture pulled up on my computer right now. That's Kit. Like, it's not even that. But the other galleries that are just blowing up, of course, Connor with Kaz Awesome Studios, who we will be seeing in Chicago, obviously. His gender-bent Cruella de Vil, which has mad shares going on the site. Awesome-looking gender-bent costume there for Cruella. And then the other huge ones that have come out of Project Cosplay, coincidentally, one of our co-hosts involved in all three of the ones that are getting crazy traffic. So the Khal Drogo Daenerys one that Aaron Lay here did with Baroness Von T cosplay. And then the Seven Deadly Sins, which has seven awesome gowns made, seven different cosplayers. And then Aaron's own Miss Marvel shoe are all blowing up big as well. So tons of Project Cosplay content coming up. But these galleries right now, those five specifically.
Mad crazy. My favorite shot out of all of those that you listed is the one where I'm with my really good friend, Baroness Von T cosplay. And she did that really kick-ass Khal Drogo gender bend. And I'm humping her from behind as Daenerys. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Good galleries. A lot of great content coming out of Project Cosplay. We still have so much more content. I can't even keep up with it. The cosplay bloggers can't keep up with it. And even worse is that we have all this, and we'll have the portrait dude with us in Chicago again shooting galleries all weekend. So if you want to see cosplay that you're not going to see anywhere else, at least you want to see it somewhere first, Project Nerd, the foreseeable future, has content that's going to not only blow your mind because of the photographers and the models involved, but the fact is that you're going to find it first on Project Nerd. Super awesome. Mad crazy. Anyways, cosplay, which is a huge part of C2E2, and our pal Stephen K. Smith Props, who will be up there from Kansas City, is in the Crown Championship of Cosplay competition for his new World of Warcraft orc, which, goodness.
That thing looks ridiculous.
Like, right? Like, at this point, I can't even, now that he's like colored the skin, like, it's just, what, like, how does he do that? It just, it's unbelievable.
Magic. I think it's magic. I think he, you know, 24, 36 months ago sold his soul. You know, he made a deal with the devil and he sold his soul for mad prop making skills. And that's exactly what he got. And it was probably a good deal on his part, I think, because good gosh, there, it's crazy.
True story. I'm going to have to let him know too that, hey, we shouted you out on the podcast by saying that you sold your soul for cosplay skills, for crafting skills.
They're that good. It's true. Really that good.
I think your theory might have some, like, it's good enough. His skills are good enough that what you said can be considered a theory and not just a lie. Because it's a theory, because there's some evidence behind it in his skills.
It's otherworldly. Maybe he's an alien. I don't know. I'm reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He could be an alien. I'm also willing to let that be another theory.
I like that one too. Awesome. So cosplay, obviously, if you like it, Project Nerd has it. We've always had a lot of it. And very good costumes. And like we said, a lot of galleries coming out that won't be found anywhere else. Other than that, of course, we cover everything else that we're talking about on the podcast today. A lot of fun and good stuff. But as we come close to our end of the road here tonight, we're going to wrap it up with some final thoughts from all of our contestants. Adam, don't be upset. We'll talk again soon, and then we'll actually be hanging out very, very soon. So, Aaron, any final thoughts?
Really?
I had to.
No, okay. You didn't.
Yeah, I did. I had to at that point.
You know what? I'm going to announce right now that I quit the podcast every time that we record in the last 10 minutes. I quit.
Okay, see you later. Tyler, before we, I guess, because I don't want Tyler to ruin his final thought on a book, because he has to talk about at least 5 or 6 books in his final thought. So we were talking about something before the podcast started that we were like, it has to be brought up like around this time. So let's actually open with that, and then we'll go into individual final thoughts. But Tyler found a fantastic bit of information from 1982.
So my it's actually just posted on the movie subreddit of Reddit. Someone was going through the numbers.com, the dash numbers, where they just keep track of all the data from various movies and years and stuff like that. And the statistic was that if you had gone to the theaters in the month of June in the year 1982, you would have had the choice of seeing Conan the Barbarian, The Thing, Blade Runner, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Poltergeist, Mad Max 2 Road Warrior, Star Trek 2 Wrath of Khan, and Rocky 3. And if you had waited a couple weeks into July, you could have then also seen Tron. All of those at their original release. So all of those movies except for Tron came out in 1 month in 1 year.
I feel like that's got to be the greatest month of movies. Like
sci-fi movies of all time, by far.
I don't even – you want to say sci-fi. That I could almost say – find me another month that even competes with that movie-wise. Like, if you could find another month like that, then my mind will be equally as blown, because that month of movie-making right there is incredible.
That is ridiculously strong. Like, I can't – studio wouldn't let that happen. Like, if you're releasing that last week into June, you're just going to be like, we're going to go into August because I don't know. Just know there's no way anybody has any money left. So we're not going to do it.
I don't know. It's one of those things where the decade gets a bad rap, but I feel like the peak or the Renaissance, the golden age of sci-fi and fantasy movies was definitely the 80s for Hollywood. Because I named all those. You still – the 80s, just flat out like super imaginative movies. You're getting like Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, Last Starfighter, Flight of the Navigator. You're going to get Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, the first Terminator, Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Buckaroo Banzai, RoboCop, Big Trouble, Little China, Superman 2, Excalibur, Die Hard, Dune, Ghostbusters, The Fly, Aliens. I mean, just the 80s won at sci-fi fantasy movies.
Yeah.
What's the Alan Parsons Project and Matthew Broderick and Rutger Hauer?
Lady Hawk, man.
Lady Hawk. Fantastic. Oh, God, so good. Secrets of NIMH, if you're going to go animated. Excalibur. Tim Burton's Batman. Beetlejuice. Dude, the 80s was just like, say what you will about the 80s, but they had their movies figured out. I'm
completely on board with what you're saying, and I am picking up what you're laying down, buddy.
So, Adam, why don't you start wrapping us up with a final thought this week on your view in the pop culture. I don't know. I was trying to extend that out. Just go for it.
I like what you got going there, buddy. Nope. I'm doing lots of reading. I read, I'm currently reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is obviously fantastic, you know, and I'm okay. This is my first time ever having read it. So I can admit that I'm all right with that. I, read Frank Bedore's The Looking Glass Wars as well. I enjoyed that. That was a fun read. And before that, I read a book that my wife got me for for Valentine's Day, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. I want to talk a little bit about that book because I'm using it to start what I think will be a fun article for Project Nerd, so you guys can be on the lookout for these coming up. We're going to call them the Way Too Late Reviews. And so one of our staff members, me to kind of start out with, is going to pick a piece of pop culture classicness and that they've never experienced before, so read or watched or anything like that, and do a review about it and talk a little bit about what they thought about it, what they think its place in, you know, kind of pop culture is, or how it holds up if it's an older book. So Moon is a Harsh Mistress was written in 1966. So, you know, that was 50 years ago now, which is pretty crazy to think about and kind of talk about how a sci-fi book from 50 years ago reads still today. So be on the lookout for that. That's, again, Way Too Late Reviews from Project Nerd.
Can I just pick them all for you and then say what I want?
I was going to say next month, this is Aaron's chance to read Sandman. She could do the next Way Too Late review.
There you go.
I could.
But all right. Oh, thank you. Yeah, but that is, I think, what we said. The second Friday of every month, you'll be able to see those Way Too Late reviews. So as Adam pointed out, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress kicking it off here with March, but April, May, June, you could see it. It could be, like you said, a book, a comic, a video game, a movie, a TV show, something that is just, like you said, considered to some level a classic.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a loose definition of classic.
Maybe I should finally read the, for this, I should finally sit down and read all the Harry Potter books.
There you go.
There you go. That would work.
There you go. Tyler, who's read everything except the Harry Potter books, finally sits down and read Harry Potter books. That would be a good one. But anyways, great article series. And yes, Adam is reading through. He's also reading one more book that he will tell you about in written format in the next few weeks. So
I didn't want to ruin that one.
Okay. That's why I was teasing it. I was just teasing it there. So Tyler, final thoughts.
Two things to shout out. A guy that I have he's had some misses, but I have a deep love of filmmaker-wise, is Andrew Niccol. And if those aren't familiar with Andrew Niccol, he wrote or directed or both a lot of really great sci-fi movies, including he was the writer-director of Gattaca, which is quite possibly one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time. He wrote The Truman Show. He wrote and directed Simone. He wrote and directed Lord of War. He wrote and directed In Time. He wrote and directed The Host. And he wrote and directed Good Kill. Has just announced his newest movie. Is going to be called, what's the name of it? I can't remember now. Oh, Anon, in all caps, A-N-O-N, starring Amanda Seyfried, who was in his In Time one with Justin Timberlake and Clive Owen. And it's another dystopian sci-fi movie, because that's what he does. I'm pumped about it. And then other one, just because it's something that I need to not spend money on, but I really want to, if you go to Hero Complex Galaxy, which is a art place online, hgcart.com. They have a 12 print series by Jordan Buckner, which are these big 36 by 12 panoramic renderings of various scenes from classic sci-fi movies. They've got stuff from Close Encounters, 2001, Alien, Metropolis, Blade Runner, Star Wars, Moon, Akira, La Jetée, and they're fantastic. You can buy all 12 of them. You can buy any one of them for $40 to $45, or you can buy all 12 for $400, and they are beautiful.
Aaron, last chance. I know you quit, but
okay. Is it okay if I get hired back real quick?
Sure, let's go for it. You're hired.
All right. So for International Women's Month, is no one going to correct me there? All right. So for Women's Month, or whatever this is called,
Women's History Month.
Yeah, whatever.
Today is International Women's Day.
Is what you're. Yeah, that's. I know. I'm hoping to finish an article on really cool feminist topics, of which I consider myself to be a feminist because I'm a woman and I care about woman things. So hopefully you can look for that. But in general, I just wanted to just sort of point everybody in that direction. A Project Nerd, look for all the cool articles that are going up this month that people are pulling together based around comics and books. To help support Women's History Month. I'm probably going to, you know, do a nice long article on nakedness, because that's what I like to talk about and how cool it is to be naked.
Huzzah.
So
that's for the men too, though. We can be naked as well.
Well, right. And it, obviously, no,
I know what you're saying. We're allowed to have our shirt offs in public.
Shirt offs. Shirt yes. Off.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, good point. Hopefully, too, as we pointed out, 31 Days of Power, focusing on women comic book characters. Aaron's, obviously, her Modern Sex podcast might cover some topics. RT Boutram, the editor extraordinaire, does our new monthly article called Nerdcord, which will focus on some female characters this month as well. And we do, if we have the time, we want to point it out. Aaron's, why was it so important that Esme Ford was a strong female lead in an environment like that? And doing something on that to kind of tie into Baron's dropping the end of this month, beginning of April, was also a significant piece. The other thing, of course, talking about Project Nerd Publishing for my final thoughts is Radiation Day is heading to print. And I just want to point out why this is awesome. We do have a great books in that Bulletproof Kid and Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat. Number one, both those issues available on pnpublishing.storyenvy.com, which thanks to the many of you that have been buying comics off of there. So for the rest of you, head over to pnpublishing.com/shop or pnpublishing.com or .storyenvy.com. Buy some comics. The Store Envy store is doing a lot better than our shirt Store Envy store did for some insider knowledge there. But Radiation Day going to print, and it was really cool. Adam was there a few years ago. We went to Free Comic Book Day and met this guy named Brett, who was standing there promoting his comic. It was called Radiation Day. Number one, they had just released it at Planet Comic Con the month prior, or about 6 weeks prior. Black and white, everything like that. Super excited to do color. So the artist for Barons, Brian Timmons, brought in his coloring skills and has made Radiation Day full color, as we're introducing as now in full Technicolor. And it is available through Project Nerd Publishing. And really excited to see this printed because the coloring is amazing. Brian did a fantastic job. Just a fun buddy cop post-apocalyptic type story. First issue really just kind of introducing a lot of things. Fun, great artwork, but that color just kind of adds to it and brings it all to life. And so only way you're going to get it in full color like that is through Project Nerd Publishing. And of course, both Brett and Chris and... all Brett, Chris, and Brian, who participated in it, will be there at Planet Comic Con, being that they are Kansas City locals. And a number of them will be with us at Denver Comic Con and O Comic Con this summer as well. So check out our new comics. Plenty more to come. A lot of announcements. Obviously, Blue Moon, fantastic graphic novel that Aaron loves the cover of, is available on our web store digital copy. Radiation Day is actually already available digitally. And as well, many
everybody loves that cover.
It is. It's beautiful. I want it as a poster. I want it. So, but Project Nerd Publishing, I didn't plug any of our ventures this whole episode. So I had to right here at the end. So great episode, guys. The true episode 114 ended very well, started very well. Got a little rough in the middle, little Game of Thrones anger going on there. But other than that, we did all right.
So basically Iggy's saying that he did a really good job and we didn't do a good job in the middle.
No, I think Adam and Tyler did a fantastic job. Aaron, you did great. You were participating a lot, and you had a lot to say. It was fantastic.
Yeah, but maybe I shouldn't participate so much because maybe it's not so good.
No, maybe you should just find better things to say.
I was just going to say, don't get so mad about Jon Snow.
I can't.
It's a fictional character. Let's calm
it down. We love it when you participate. If you just had better opinions.
It's not opinions.
With that, we have one more.
It's just the way I feel, Tyler.
We'll be airing the Friday of C2E2, so it'll air, but we will be at Chicago. So if you are going to C2E2, I don't have it on right now, but you're not going to see me anyways, but find the orange shirts that we'll be wearing, as well as some of the polos, just the Project Nerd logo. You have an orange shirt, Adam, or you're getting one. Don't shake
it. I'm not wearing it.
I just want to point out, you guys are all wearing sports shirts, and Iggy just lifted up his shirt and pointed to it as if all of the listeners could see it. And he gets mad at me every time I made reference to,
I don't know why I'm doing this right before you did. So.
Yeah, but you didn't point it out.
I'm closing it out. That's it for episode 114. Grabbing the shirt. It's the Nerdcast crew. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.